Welcome to Juice Podcast.
So I'm Gwen Douglas.
And I'm Emily Harmon.
And yeah, this is Juice.
So welcome.
Welcome back. This is first episode of season two.
So we've taken a bit of a break over summer. What did you get up to this summer?
Busy, busy, flying around. We went to Canada. We went to... Where else did I go? Went to Paris. Went to... Visited the forest around Berlin.
That's nice.
Went to the UK for a wedding, couple of weddings. The usual summer activities.
And I just chilled out here at the pool. Drinking lots of rosé and actually drinking some frosé.
Which is what we're talking about today. Yeah. Frosé.
Frosé, yeah. So I thought before we start, we could just taste some rosé.
Cool.
Yeah.
The basic.
Did you try any good rosés this summer?
I don't know if I drank that much rosé this summer. It wasn't really a rosé summer for me.
I know last year we did a drink pink episode.
Yeah.
It's funny, isn't it, that there's still this phenomena about pink wine, rosé wine.
Because I love pink wine, but I think we discussed it last year that I don't think it's necessarily something that either you or I only drink during the summer.
I would drink pink wine all the way through, but I think this one epitomises exactly what people expect, or most people expect from rosé in the summer, because it's light, it's dry. And actually, it's not that dry, because I think there's 8 grams of residual sugar in this rosé. But when you first taste it, so we have 2017 Riedling Rosé, which is a Spätburgunder rosé, so Pinot Noir rosé from Baden, in Germany. Riedling, they just produced 2 wines, actually. So Markus Riedling is producing the wines now. He's actually the husband of Sibylle Kunz.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. They're in conversion to biodynamic. So I think 19 is the first biodynamic certified vintage doing.
Very cool.
And this is just a Sanier style of rosé from the Pinot Noir that they usually produce.
And what does that mean for those watching or listening at home?
So that means that when they're producing the red wines and they're leaving it in contact with the skins, after about 3 or 4 hours, they just run off some of the juice. So it started to take a little bit of the colour, but not completely.
Okay.
So just some of the juice is removed, and then it's left still in contact with the bit that's left is still in contact with the juice that then the skins then turns into the Pinot Noir that they produce.
Cool.
Yeah. Lovely. So
it's a really pretty colour. Yeah. I mean, it kind of matches our chairs here. And your eyeshadow.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You can't really see that, though.
No. We might have to do a super zoom.
Different shades of orange and pink. Mm. Like, very small, so 1.2 hectares. It's tiny. The vineyards are between, or the vines are between 20 to 50 years of age. So not super young either. I love this so much.
You can kind of taste already that little residual sugar immediately when it goes in your mouth.
But because the acidity is so high.
Totally. You see that nice puckery...
Yeah.
Back of the mouth feeling.
Total
it's definitely going to pucker.
Mm. Yeah. So this is actually, so over the summer, as much as I downplayed it a little bit that I was at the pool, which I was at the pool a lot, still at the pool quite a bit, I have been setting up an import business and a wine distribution business here in Berlin. And this is one of the wines that actually I'm distributing now. And I'm really happy to work with them because I think they work really hard in the vineyard and the wines taste great.
Totally.
And this is, for me, the sort of rosé that you could put on a table and people who like natural wine, people who
classic wine also.
It's kind of an all-rounder.
Totally.
Yeah.
It's kind of giving me like wild strawberry like jam.
Totally.
Who makes it in the UK? It's one of those fancy shops. Had one recently. It was delicious wild strawberry jam. It's really, actually packs some pretty good flavor in there. Delicious.
Yeah.
I can see why this is a good choice for your frosé, actually.
Yeah, I think, I think it's good to have something a little bit with a little
has
bit of
this. Also that it has some
character to it.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Otherwise it would
be. Did you drink any good rosés over summer?
I don't know. I mean, we drank that one orange together, the Canadian one.
Which was pretty intense, wasn't it?
It was pretty full on.
From Pearl Morissette to Skin Contact.
Was it like super low acidity? It was really like...
Yeah. And just like, and quite a little bit boozy.
Boozy, oh yeah.
Yeah, I quite liked. I like that. Yeah, we haven't drunk anything pink together. Been drinking a bit more Lambrusco over summer, which has been great.
To be honest, I haven't been drinking that much. I'm working so much. But then when I was in Canada this summer, Lucas and I really made a point of only drinking Canadian wine when we were there. So it was actually pretty interesting to drink some stuff that was Canadian, natural, with all of these sort of hybrids that have this, like, I mean, they're like, they make me think of, like, Marvel comic book characters of wine, you know, because they're so over the top.
Yes.
In terms of expression that it's like...
What did you think of those hybrid wines?
I found them, I think, like, as anyone that listens knows, I love an aromatic. So I do think that they tend to be heavy on the aromatic side.
Yeah.
And even for me, I think some of them are pushing maybe a little too flowery, a little too grandma's bathroom. But I think that, like, a lot of them are actually really interesting. And it's maybe just a matter of taste. Because also when you go to North America, everything has this sort of over-the-top bigness in terms of flavor in the food and what people are drinking outside of wine. So it kind of makes sense that the wines that are most liked there are kind of big, like wines on steroids.
I've got mixed feelings, honestly, about the hybrids. I think they are very interesting because I keep staring at a fly in your glass and it's driving me mad. So I don't want you to accidentally drink it. I wasn't sure if it was like, it almost looked like an ant from here. And I was like, no, don't eat the ant. But sorry.
Might have to be the name of the episode. Don't eat the ant.
But I think very interesting because there are... you know, this new set of flavours, a new discovery. But do I think...
Is it like...
Is there legs to it? Are there legs to it? I don't know. I feel like it's just the curious thing that's like, oh, it's the new thing. But I don't know if I enjoy the wines.
Exactly. That's what I was going to say. Is some of the stuff worked really well.
Yeah.
Like one of my friends in Canada made me try this Pet Nat that was sort of hybrids and some other stuff. And it was canned. And actually, in that situation, it worked really well because it kind of reminded me of the gin and tonics or the pink gin and tonic from M&S in the UK. It was like same little can.
You and your M&S.
I know, I love the M&S. I recently did a guest spot in the UK in Essex and I literally showed up with four days.
Get to Schoenfeld Airport, just like green bags packed full of M&S.
I showed up for my 4-day stay in Essex.
Cheese and pickle sandwiches.
With £60 worth of M&S, like breakfast, lunch and dinner. Ready.
Come on, favourite meal from M&S.
Cod Mornay in the balanced for you
meals.
I
didn't even know that exists.
So good.
Cod Mornay. Okay, but okay, food to go then, not one that you have to cook at home.
Then I like a cheese and pickle sandwich.
That's a good choice.
I like a coronation chicken.
Coronation chicken, that's my jam.
Those are my two number one.
And you like anything that's kind of like vintage, slightly out of fashion.
And then I also like the roast dinner one with the stuffing.
Coronation chicken and gavotte.
Yeah. Fuck, that's like a... That's a match really made in heaven, actually. All right, so next Gavirks
meetup.
Next time,
we'll get some coronation chicken sandwiches on the side.
You know, in Canada, they call it Bombay. Yeah, it's strange.
I guess
it's pretty much the same thing. It's raisins, creamy chicken, a bit sweet, some
and
curry.
A bit of curry, yeah. So maybe we'll do that, and then we'll have to think of some rivals. The coronation chicken will be one, and then we both have to make
maybe
a separate sandwich.
Maybe that'll be an M&S episode.
Yeah.
Cheese and pickle versus coronation chicken.
When I next come back from the UK, I'll bring some M&S sandwiches for us and we can do
some scotch eggs.
How to pair the Gewürztraminer with the
sandwich.
The sandwich from M&S.
So, back to the hybrids. I think the Pet Nat was really successful because it's sort of something that I could totally see myself drinking and did drink on a hot summer day where you've got like a little bit of sweetness. It's in that can, so it's like super cold if you've pulled it out of a bucket of ice. So that was really nice. And then we tried some Pearl Morissette stuff, some reds and some...
I love those wines.
Really delicious.
Yeah.
So,
and I saw that you tried Haywire as well, didn't you?
Haywire.
One of the other... I thought that was one of the bottles you drank whilst you were away.
Probably. There was one very boozy night at a lovely restaurant in Ottawa called Fauna.
Sounds very out of character, Gwen.
I think we drank like 13 bottles that night.
Between two?
No, we were maybe four or five. It just like...
We were hopefully four or five, you mean?
It was a bit nuts.
We were maybe four or five people, except there weren't two people there.
That night was pretty fun, because we ended up at a vegan restaurant in Ottawa that makes phenomenal cocktails, and vegan cocktails, using lots of...
Aren't most cocktails vegan?
No, not a lot of... Like, lots of egg white stuff and all this stuff.
Yeah, but a martini's vegan.
Sure, but they were doing like more experimental, like creamy drinks and things that vegans don't normally get to enjoy.
With like pineapple.
Yeah. Coconut milk, lots of chickpea water, trying to like...
I'm not sure if I'm into the chickpea water cocktail thing.
Have you tried it though?
I feel like I had a chickpea water something somewhere.
It does give it like a weird... It kind of has that, like, that Pearl Marcet orange where it has that
the
sort of, like...
quality.
Yeah, viscous. Exactly. The viscous, like you know,
gloopy.
You know, if you leave dish soap water in the sink for too long, it becomes really, like, gloopy. It makes me think of that a little bit.
That doesn't make me want to
no,
drink.
No, it's not very appetizing.
Yeah, we've got chickpea water cocktails. Remember when you leave your dishwater and you just don't do
that's
anything
what it
and, like, frog spawn appears? Because it's been weeks.
Basically. So, that was a fun night.
Okay, cool. That sounds nice.
So that was kind of the only boozy part of the holiday. We went to... We went to Paris. And Lucas, my boyfriend Lucas, lost his mind and brought home... We had to buy new suitcases to bring home because he bought, I think, 2.5 cases worth of wine in France. Like, he just couldn't be stopped. And I did enjoy that at the wine shop, after buying 2 cases of wine, the gentleman offered us a glass of wine. And what does he offer me?
Someone told him you were there. That doesn't happen. That happens nowhere in the world other than
people.
In your living room.
The lovely fellow from Fauna too, also a Gewürztraminer fan. We're growing in numbers. Team Aromat. So.
Well.
So let's talk about Frosé.
Yeah, let's talk about Frosé. So Frosé, we were going to do an episode on last year and we didn't do one actually. So. We just thought because we're sort of clinging on to the last little bits of summer, yeah. Hopefully the weather's going to stay. But I was working last year in Miami,
right.
3 weeks, setting up a wine list on South Beach. And we're in the land of perpetual summer. Obviously, what people drink doesn't really change throughout the year. And because it is sort of beachy weather, rosé is absolutely huge. To the point where some of the most expensive wines on the list are like magnums, double magnums.
Wow.
Of just Whispering Angel, some quite flashy rosés. So
because that name Whispering Angel just makes me think of like Victoria's Secret Angels. Like,
well, they do, and they have one called Rock, yeah, totally. And they have one called like Rock Angel as
well. It just makes me think of lingerie,
yeah.
Doesn't it?
But maybe that's the draw card.
That's totally the point, yeah.
Yeah. So you see a lot of that, you see a lot of Minuti, a lot of the top Provence guys.
Okay.
Gals. You see them there. And you see Frosé, so frozen rosé, as you can see. So last summer, yeah, representing. Gwen designed this t-shirt. I should show the back as well.
Bit Miami voice.
So you designed this for Frosé Fest, which was an event idea that I had for the Michelburger last summer in Berlin, where we would just serve Frosé and do a barbecue and sell these shirts because they're amazing. Which are, I think, a very 90s Miami.
I know, next year we really
just
want
to listen to Will Smith put on this t-shirt and drink frozen
Welcome
rosé.
To Miami.
Yeah.
Bienvenido a Miami.
And it actually, we were so busy, I think we sold something like 80 litres of frosé. Like, there was a point where there was like an hour where the machine just couldn't keep up. So, which was a blessing and a curse at the same time because I was incredibly stressed, just like an amateur frosé master. Not a frosé master at all that I thought it was for the event. But yeah, it went really well. And I think actually it's just a very easy way to drink frosé.
No, it's kind of like, I actually think I'd never really noticed it until, like, you, when you were in Miami, you were sort of checking out all the different ways to make it in Miami. And then all of a sudden, I remember last year I was in Denmark for a bit and I saw that they had like a hot dog stand that was selling frosé, and it's sort of become, it's picked up traction in Europe now.
Yes.
We're seeing it more and more.
Yeah, and actually there's a producer from the, well, from Provence called Mirabelle, and they've started producing like icy poles.
Really?
Which I forgot to bring because I did have one in my freezer that saving to share with you.
What a good idea.
Yeah, so you can buy them like, they look like Calippos, that sort of shape.
Yeah, totally.
And that's now sold in Waitrose in the UK. So, and I've seen it actually being sold. I'm pretty sure I saw it somewhere. I saw it in England recently, somewhere else. And I think I might have seen it in Berlin somewhere as well. So it's slowly taking off. And actually, Haubentauger, the pool nearest to me, Humboldthain, the outdoor pool, they serve Frosé there now as well.
Yeah, because I think like...
At the Café Tropez.
Berlin is sort of the perfect place for this kind of casual, portable drinking stuff.
Yeah.
Because it's a city where it's legal to drink on the street. So it makes perfect sense to have, like, boozy pops and little cans or whatever, takeaway stuff.
Should we make some?
Let's do it.
Let's do it. So I bought my little machine from home. Move that one there. So I bought my little machine from home, which actually are very easy to get hold of online. It's essentially, this is a mixing chamber on the outside and inside.
We might terrify the dog, so a sausage might appear.
Yeah.
He might be like,
never wake a sleeping sausage. Oh, he's in his little suitcase. So the middle bit, we put ice in. I've prepared some ice. My little Blue Peter moment that we've all been waiting for. So ice.
Marvellous.
And rock salt. Half spilt on the floor, but that's okay. So the idea is obviously everybody know, well, not
everybody,
presumptuous. But the idea is when you mix the salt with the ice, that it keeps the ice staying colder for longer.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. So we're going to start popping. Feel free to get in there. And our
world.
We have one giant egg.
It's okay, Lodi.
It's okay, Lodi. Okay.
I did wash the hands.
It's okay. It doesn't matter if you have or haven't, because it doesn't come in any way contact with the drink.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So just interesting.
We just be really careful with the salt so it doesn't go on the outside.
Use quite a lot. We're making a frozen margarita.
Yeah. Ooh, shit. Yeah, more.
So it doesn't impart any flavour at all, the rock
salt?
No,
because everything else is going on the outside. So the idea is this chamber's... Yeah, and then it slowly turns into a slushy. So it's like almost like a cooling element.
I should have used my eyeballs. What's happening? I thought there was...
We will we'll probably have to, during the process...
Add more ice cubes.
Add more ice cubes.
Yeah, because that's too much.
Yeah,
right.
So we'll pop them down. So now we've done that part.
Just going to pop that tiny ice cube on the plant.
Yeah, no, not yet. So, you do it this way.
Oh, then you have to pour it into... Yeah. Oh, I see.
There's some... Yeah, because look, this is actually... I've taken the lid off, but you don't have to, because look, there's ice and salt there. Okay. And then the wine goes here. Oh, so we've got about 600 mils of wine here. So there's lots of different approaches you can do to your recipe.
Okay.
The recipe I like is to stay more on the wine side of things, the grape side of things. So I use rosé and a sweeter style of vermouth, and that's it.
Okay. Because we've definitely had some with...
Vodka, you can also add fruit to it. But I think the vodka makes it a bit boozy, and I also like the fact that vermouth is made from grapes.
Yeah,
so,
totally. Yeah. Also, I think the vodka's just like... Just trying to get you smashed faster. There's no way, like, it's not giving you taste or anything else. It's just getting the job done quicker.
And then in terms of how much do we add, so usually it's really personal. I would usually do somewhere between 3/4 to 4/5 wine and then more vermouth. But you can go less on the vermouth if you want.
So it's just a matter of taste. Yeah. Like, try it, experiment,
so we're
and
gonna,
see what happens.
We just have to check that front bit's closed. Yeah. Which I... haven't done. That was good that we did that earlier. We've only wasted like 20 mils of wine. It's not running out now, is it?
No, we're good. I didn't realise this is how it was made.
Yeah. Remember, I brought a batch over to yours.
I did this
at home first. I was so excited.
Yeah. I just didn't know that it was like a machine like this. Because even when you brought this over, it looked just like a blender. I didn't look at it properly.
Right. So that's like that. Great. Now we're going to add the vermouth. And because we're very technical people here and we haven't got any measures, we're going to kind of...
Eyeball it.
Yes, exactly. So 250, not even 250 mils, we put about 100 mils in. I kind of just decide on the colour. But if you want to make it at home...
Yeah, exactly. That looks good.
That looks really good. If you want to make it at home, I would suggest with one bottle of wine, adding around 100, anywhere between 120, maybe 180 millilitres. But you can add more if you want. It's just going to give it... I like that it gives it a slight bitter edge. In this case, we're using Martini Rosso. Not to sponsor Martini in any way. That was just the one
just
that we grabbed.
Yeah,
exactly. There's no... it's actually a product that's available to a lot of people.
Yeah, pretty much everywhere.
Yeah, so I think...
I would even think, this would be amazing to do with Glühwein. Imagine like frozen Glühwein.
It probably
like
would
be quite good. Like a Glühwein slushy. Like a white Glühwein slushy would be yum. Christmas slushies. Should I press the button?
Yeah.
On one or two?
Just go for it.
All the way.
All the way.
Wish you could see the dog's face. Yeah.
So now you leave it, and this is going to take around 1 hour.
Okay.
And then periodically, like, you can already see some of the ice has gone down, so we can chuck a bit more ice in. And we just have to keep adding ice, and eventually this will become more of a slushy. So we'll take a small pause here, okay. And we'll see you in around an hour.
It's been about an hour, I guess.
Mm.
We're kind of at the beginning of frostiness. Let's be real. We probably
We could go a bit longer.
But for the sake of impatience.
Yes. Would you take care to pour me some? Because I have a little guest in my lap now.
Yeah. Ludwig. It's a bit messy business because, of course, it's not designed for these wines.
Because glasses. Emily's already spilled it twice. So,
what we just realised is it's not that pink.
But the rosé that we used was quite a pale rosé.
And it was kind of salmon-y coloured anyway.
Yeah, so it's taking on a bit too much of the colour from the vermouth.
So we're going to call it frorange. I mean, it's pretty refreshing.
It's pretty easy to drink, isn't it?
Yeah, totally.
Food pairing? No food pairing.
I don't think it needs food.
Chips at the pool.
Oh, yeah.
Chips just, with ketchup
just
and mayo.
Just salty chips. Or even crisps.
Yeah.
Just some crisps.
What flavour crisps?
I think just salt. Kettle chips.
No, you Walker's know. Packet red.
I mean, you know,
Walker's
I love a
red packet.
I do love a skip.
This would be quite nice with a skip.
Mm-hmm. What do prawn you cocktail flavored Pringles.
Yeah. Prawn cocktail flavored Pringles.
Yeah.
I don't know what your dog is doing right now, but he looks sort of somewhere between I'm mixing it up and
bent in half.
I'm really uncomfortable. Just like, oh, I'm okay here.
I do find him sleeping.
It's like it's almost like a first date experience where you're like,
oh. I'm here, but I'm. Yeah. I could move at any moment.
Well, no, or like he's I'm at the first really date and like maybe it's not going well, but I'm being too shy, so I'm like everything's fine, even though I'm vegetarian and I've got a plate of veal in front of me.
He's just really tired today. He went for a long run.
And I'm like, so now he's how like, can I help you? I don't know.
Noodle's gonna noodle. Well, I do think this is great fun. I would love to try some other... I mean, I want to try frozen Gewürztraminer now.
Oh, what God. Would you call it? Is that what you're about
That's
to
say? That's what I said.
What would we call it? What should we call it?
Gefrozen.
Yeah, finest moment just about to happen.
It's like I had a stroke or something.
Gefrozen. No.
Gefriestraminer.
It's getting worse.
A small burnt toast.
Oh, no, you were just like creativity on demand, aren't you?
What would it be called? Frozetrometer.
It's getting worse.
Gefreeze.
How about Framina?
Framina?
It's a
I feel like
don't
to be
fucking
a...
frown on that after your last four attempts. They were awful.
Gefremarina.
Gefremarina.
Gefrosé.
That's but that doesn't make any sense because it's a play on rosé.
Gefroze. Gefurtsaminer.
What about
what else could you freeze? I want to freeze
everything
now.
No. There's no one coming in.
I don't know, it's tricky. But what else could you freeze? Actually, what else would make a good Gefurts?
Gefurts.
Gefurts. Gefurts.
Yeah, Gefurt or just Gefurts. It's really difficult, actually.
It's really hard.
Is there, like, a nickname for Gewürztraminer? Just, like...
Gewürz?
Or just Grandma?
Gefurts?
I've got one. Grandma's slush.
Grandma's slush.
Better. Want a bit of Grandma's better. Slush.
I mean, that sounds really naughty.
Yeah. Oma slushy.
Omar slushy.
Slushy de Oma.
But what else could you make? Because I think rosé's really fun, but is there an...
Friesling.
Oh, Friesling. Friesling would be great.
What else?
Like I said, I think Christmas episode, you could have a little... I mean, maybe you live in a part of the world where it's not cold in winter.
Yeah, or you live in Germany and you're like, it's so cold I can't feel my face when I leave because it's so humid that the nostril hair is almost like freezing on most people's faces.
Also...
So let's just get even colder and...
Why not? But maybe you live in Australia. Not?
Yeah, Australia.
Yeah. How about even, like, frozen Aperol? I would love an Aperol spritz done like this.
I actually think that's a great idea.
Like, because actually the vermouthiness is really nice.
Or use the Aperol and do the frosé with that. Right. And then you do like a float with Prosecco.
Oh, shit.
That's the one.
Oh, that's good.
That's even really good.
Frampain. I'm not good at these frozen names.
Oh, I'd love a bit of frampain.
Frizz. Some frizz.
Frizz is not great.
Frizz is funny.
Frizz is awful. Nobody wants frizz.
Frizzy hair. Frizz.
Yeah. Think of all those people with afro hair. Afro. I think we've been dipping into the frosé too much.
So, the frosé is good enough that we're tongue twisted.
Yeah.
But we'd like to hear, I'd like to hear
all about the different words that you come up with creatively that actually have a bit more
help us out and also
roll off the tongue.
Right. Also, do you live somewhere where you make frosé on a regular basis? Because if you do, we'd love to hear your recipe. We'd want to hear all of your recipes if you have a really good one. I know that some people like to put raspberry or fruit or strawberry, kind of like daiquiri mix sometimes into these if you want to sort of like lessen the alcohol kick or just make it a little, I don't know, more fruity.
But I would let us know let us know what frozen drinks you're making, what your recipes are. Maybe we'll try them out. We'll do a frozen drinks revisited episode. Hopefully we would have planned a few more catchy names for those frozen drinks,
or we're just gonna steal yours.
Or we'll use yours. But until then, thank you for tuning in to Juice Podcast. You can find us on Instagram at juice.podcast.
You can find us online where you can buy a delightful tote as pictured in the video. And you can find it at juice.show. And you can also find us on Twitter.
Juice_podcast.
So send us all your pictures, your recipes and whatever else. And we really look forward to seeing you next week. Cheers.
Cheers.